where they actually have the bass notes and stuff. So I just go ahead and sing that. I love that song. Such a beautiful song. Thanks again for being here. I don't know how far along we're going to get in this. I do the same thing every time. I think, well, it's, you know, I can do this. And then I get here and I can't do this. Anyway, feeding 5,000. This is an amazing miracle. It's found in all four. This is the only one that's found in all four of the Gospels. It's found in Matthew 14, 15 through 21, Mark 6, 30 through 52, Luke 9, 10 through 17, and John 6, 5 through 14. In this particular miracle, it is an amazing feat. There is 5,000 men there, and I put their families. It just says women and children also were fed. But they were fed with 5 loaves and 2 fish. That is amazing, beyond compare. I don't know about the rest of you, but there's been many a time that I could have probably eaten the 5 fish myself and not had a problem. I don't know how big these fish were, but, you know, it is amazing. And then they took up 12 baskets of that was left over. The next one is both Jesus and Peter walking on the water. It's a really bad storm. The apostles have gone out. The disciples have gone out. This is found in Matthew 14, 22 through 33. Mark 6, 45 through 52. And John 6, 16 through 21. They have actually gone out on the water in the boat. And it's just a stormy night. It's a, you know, one of those nights that, again, none of us would want to be out on the water. And what we find is it is so bad that they, of course, they're very nervous about this weather. And as they look out, I think maybe Peter was the first to notice, and here's Jesus just walking to them on the water. Now, it's bad enough being in a boat, but again, this is our Lord and Savior. Do I believe He did this? Absolutely. So did Peter, actually. And Peter said, well, is that you? Oh, yes, it's me. He said, well, then bid me come out and walk on the water, basically. And he said, okay. And he steps out of the boat and he takes a few steps and then his faith just leaves him. See, the words that Jesus spoke was, you can do it. But him matching that didn't work. And what this, I'm just saying this over and over again because I'm trying to point out something. This is contrary to everything that you're going to hear about miracles today. But this is the proof. It isn't in the miracles. Even his apostles who had observed all of this, seen all of this, and of course he would come back with, your faith basically is not where it needs to be. But we see him getting back in with them in the boat, and of course they're very, certainly very happy about this, that he's there with them. It does let us know that truly they believed in our Lord and Savior. Now, one other amazing fact about this is, as Peter started to sink, he said, Lord, save me. He didn't talk to the people in the boat. He understood he had a better chance with Jesus standing on the water than he did with the apostles back in the boat. This is an amazing thing. I just, some of these things, as I look at them, I'm just amazed that we don't talk about them more often. But healing a Gentile woman's daughter. As we look at this in Matthew 15, 21 through 28, and also Mark 7, 24 through 30. As we look at this incident, she said, you know, my daughter is severely demon-possessed. I can't do anything about this. And he wouldn't say anything to her. He didn't even answer her. Now, we could observe some things about that. You know, he had said he only came to the Jews. That's one thing. But certainly he had had associations with both Gentiles and Samaritans, and we could say, well, typically they didn't talk to just a woman in public, but this was nothing for a Gentile woman. It was just a Jewish woman that wouldn't do that. But she keeps on. She says, don't you understand this? And she actually worships him. In other words, she prostrates herself before him, saying, I know who you are. And he makes a statement. He said, it is not good to take the children's bread and give it to the little dogs. When you talk about faith, that's Jesus' words now. That's going to have an effect. What's the effect? Well, what were Gentiles called? Well, they were called dogs. The Jews considered them that. He's saying to her, The children, it belongs to them. You don't even give, you don't give the bread to some dogs. You give them to your children. You feed them first. And she says, Lord, that's true. But you know, even the little dogs get eat some of the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Talk about faith. She's saying, I'll take the crumbs. I don't need the bread. I'll take the crumbs. Whatever you have to offer. I need some help. Can you imagine if everyone had the faith of this woman on the basis of what? We don't know that she'd ever seen him perform a miracle. We don't know how much she knew about what he had done. She was a Gentile. We don't know. But she knew enough that she believed that he was Master of the universe, that he was our Lord and Savior, that he was King of kings and Lord of lords. And she believed that he was God. She fell down and prostrated herself before him and begged for some help. And as a result, on the basis of her faith about what she had heard about him, it happened. And then we find in Mark 7, 31 through 37, we have a deaf man. He also has a speech impediment, it says. And as Jesus healed him of both, no deafness, no speech impediment. Immediate. Then there was 4,000 men and their families that were fed. 15:29-39, and others, women and children as well. We don't know that they were all associated with these men. Mark 8:1-10. In this case, they had 7 loaves and a few fishes. Or a few fish. And as we look at this, it's another amazing miracle. And when they got through, they gathered up 7 baskets of what was left over. Possible? Not at all. As far as nature is concerned. We had a few people out at our house a while back. I think it was close to 100 people. We almost ran out of the food that had been prepared. There was a lot of food there. But people eat, you know. I mean, they eat well. And these people were hungry. We couldn't just, Linda and I couldn't just bring other food out. This is 40 times that amount in just men alone. Healing a blind man. Again, in Mark 8:22, we find this talked about. And you know, I'm amazed as I went back and studied this, how many blind people that it reveals that he did give them their sight back. This man asked for this. This is the only occasion where this is said. He took him out of town, and he made a little spit and put it on his eyes. He actually spat on his eyes, and he put his hands on him, and he asked him if he saw anything. And he said, yeah. I mean, this is his first time. He says, I see men like trees. He's assuming, I guess, because he hadn't been able to see. And Jesus says, put his hands on his eyes again. He said, now how? Perfect. Perfect sight. I'm not talking about, okay, he had like 40-40 here. You know, he's pretty good. This man has back, perfect sight, 20-20. You know, I don't know about the rest of you, but when the aches and pains come sometimes, you'd like to have those original joints back, maybe those original eyes back, and it's not going to happen. It just doesn't work that way. Then there's a man that's born blind. Everybody knows he's blind. In John 9:1-41, they've known he's been this way since birth. And Jesus gives him perfect sight. But you know something about this man? And I'm going to point this out. It isn't just the miracle that's performed here about his perfect sight. He has spiritual sight as well, this man does. This man is a man who will not back down, not on the basis of he received his sight, but on the basis of who Jesus is. He knew it was through the words of Jesus. He knew that was what was important. How do we know that? As we go through this, his parents, they bring him in, they go, hey, what's going on here? This son of yours, what? He's claiming something, and they, you know, said, well, he's born blind, obviously because somebody sinned in the family. That, you know. So now he receives his sight, what are they going to say, right? What was the sin? And the family goes, oh, wait, whoa, we don't know. You know, can you imagine this as parents? Your son has never had sight. He receives his sight. Would you act that way? Would you go, you know, they might throw us out of a synagogue. Let's don't admit anything here. No faith. None. Their son. Receives his sight back. That's why I keep saying this over and over again for people. That's why we don't need miracles today. We have the Word of God. It's His Word. And when we look at this, you can see they didn't believe the words. How could you not believe? They didn't. And the Pharisees are so upset they want to kill Jesus over healing someone, giving me a sight back. Can you imagine? And they go to the man and they go, don't be telling this. What are you doing? He said, what are you talking about? Well, one that can do something like this and you don't believe in him? Of course they didn't believe him because, again, it's not based on the words that Jesus was talking about. They didn't want to believe it. It wouldn't have mattered how many he did. And he says, this is a marvelous thing that you do not know where he's from, and yet he's opened my eyes. Now we know that God does not hear sinners. You're accusing me of sin from birth. I didn't sin. That's not what caused my blindness. God won't hear a sinner. But if anyone is a worshiper of God and does His will, him He hears. I believe what this man's saying is, I've been praying about this for my whole life. God heard. Don't call me a sinner. Yeah, I've sinned, but you don't call me one, and that's why I have my blindness. He said, if this man were not from God, he could do nothing. Are you that stupid? And they said, sure we are. We're going to take him out and kill him. You see, because it's not what it's about. Healing an epileptic boy who had a demon, Matthew 17:14-21, Mark 9:17-29, and Luke 9:37-43. And I've known of people that have epilepsy, and it is a horrifying situation for people to be in. And this young man would throw himself down in the fire, and he burned himself. And his parents, you can imagine how they were devastated by this. And it says that, in this case, of course, there was a situation where he was also, I believe, possessed. And that was what was causing part of this problem of throwing him down in the fire. And as we look at this situation, we find that, guess what? Jesus has no problem with it all. He rebukes the demon, and it says that same hour the child was completely healed. Not that at all. Did not have it anymore. They said, you're going to pay your taxes in Matthew 17:24-27. Aren't you going to pay the temple tax? And Jesus says, well, you know, in reality, that temple's mine. But you know what? To appease the people, he said, you go down, you grab that fish, take the coin out of its mouth, and go pay it. I don't know about the rest of you, but I like to pay taxes that way sometimes. Not going to happen. Healing a blind and mute demon-possessed man in Matthew 12:12 and Luke 11:14, just one single verse in each one of these, and it just simply says, he gains his sight, he's able to talk, and he no longer has demons. That's power. Healing two blind men in Matthew 20:29-34, Mark 10:46-52, and Luke 18:35-43. Healing a woman with an 18-year infirmity. Now, I want to go to this one in Luke 13:10-13. This is a fascinating one to me. This is a woman who, for 13 years, has had a problem, a tremendous problem. When we've seen people who, and I've heard that this is a very serious disease that eventually will take your life, but she is so bent over. She can't even walk upright at all. She's just, her bones have formed this way, and she can't even straighten up at all. And he said, woman, you're loose from your infirmity. And she straightened herself up immediately and walked around glorifying God. And they're really happy about this, the folks are, aren't they? Again, because you know what? Wrong day. Wrong day to do this. You're just not right because it was on the Sabbath. And he said, I don't get you, folks. Satan has bound her with this infirmity for 18 years. 18 years. Jesus knew exactly when she got it. And you're upset? Shouldn't this woman be able to be loosed from this on the Sabbath? Healing a man with dropsy. My understanding is it's like getting water under the skin. It's just your body gets waterlogged. And they had no cure for this. Well, Jesus did, Luke 14:1-6, immediately cured him of it. 10 lepers In Luke 17, 11 through 19, we've already talked about lepers, and this is a serious problem, and especially it was in the Middle East, in that area. He tells them to go to the high priest. They're on their way, and they're all cured. Just cured. Can you imagine looking down, and all the leprosy's gone? Just gone. Wouldn't you be excited about that? Wouldn't you want to go back and thank the one? One of them did. What's amazing in this story is he was a Samaritan. Jesus even says, well, this foreigner, or this alien, if you will, even though he was part Jew, came back and thanked me. Where are the nine? Are you starting to get the idea that it's not about the miracles? It didn't really matter about this. It didn't matter about their physical well-being. That's not what this is all about. This is not an emphasis on making sure that everybody is disease-free or anything else. John 11, 1 through 44, the raising of Lazarus. He went to the tomb and he said, Lazarus, come forth. Immediately he came forth and he thanked God for that. He even prayed to God before. He said, let your power be shown. Cursing the fig tree. They go by and there's no figs on it. He's hungry. And he said, let there not be another. If this tree does not produce figs, just let it die. He said, wither it away. Just wither it away. Malchus, Luke 22, 45 through 54, a servant. Peter cuts his ear off. I challenge anyone, for all these people who think they can perform miracles, say, I tell you what, let me do this. Let me whack your ear off. Okay? Let's see if you can attach it, and you'll never know it was gone. It's not going to happen. Only our Lord and Savior could do this sort of thing, or anyone that He might have passed this on to or gave that ability to. And then one more time in John 21, 4 through 11, a great number of fish. Same sort of situation. 128 fish. Gary was talking the other day about maybe catching close to 100. Those are small. These were big. 128 of them. It was breaking their nets. They finally got to shore. You know what they found out when they got to shore? Jesus was already cooking some fish and bread. Miracles. Now, He proved His power over nature. Changing the water to wine. Calming the storm. Feeding the 5,000. Feeding the 4,000. These are not natural things. He proved that He did not need to grow things, to do things. He could produce it just from His power. Just like He created everything we can look at. He was the Word. Fish with money. I got to tell something on this real quick. Good friend of ours, we were up in Canada fishing, and he lost his partial. And it went out in the water. We went back several times trying to find that, and we never could find it in the water. But a few, I don't know, maybe a couple months after that, I went on the internet, and there was this, they showed this fish and had teeth. I sent it to him, and I said, hey, there's your teeth. They found it. No. It's just not going to happen. I mean, you know, that's what we're talking about, and I know that's funny. He didn't think it was so funny, but walking on the water. It's against nature. I mean, I don't know about the rest. I can't even walk out in the air. I don't know. I've tried it a couple times, and I end up on the ground. I don't know about the rest of you. It just happens. That's the way it works. Just catching a great number of fish. Now, we can catch a great number of fish, but to do it the way he did, he said, just cast. We've been fishing all night, but it's your word. We've been fishing all night. I don't know about the rest of you, but, you know, I go out fishing with people, and some of them are experts. And I'm going out with them, we haven't caught a thing. And then I go up with somebody that don't know a thing about fishing, and they're just pulling one in after another. Linda. I mean, other people, too. But in seriousness, it has nothing to do with that. We know that. But Jesus knew where they were, and Jesus knew how to get them there. How about physical problems? Healing people? Well, of course. Lepers? We have two occasions that's told us they were cured. And I go back, He touched them. How about these folks that were paralyzed? We have an example of three that were paralyzed. Paralyzed. And one of them got up immediately and carried his bed. Paralyzed. Do I believe that? Absolutely. But I will tell you one thing. Just stop right here. Not a one of those miracles will save my soul. Not a one. Peter's mother-in-law, another woman, bleeding internally. Physical problems, he could heal. If Jesus so chose today, There would not be a sick person on this earth. It's no problem with him. That's who we're talking about. That's not why he was doing it. All these blind folks, these are stories that are told, not including others that we know of. Man's withered hand. What's the chances of restoring it whole? An epileptic boy. A deaf mute. An infirm woman, unable to stand straight, and she can do it now. A nobleman's son, close to death. Completely well. A man with dropsy, restoring the servant's ear. How about his power over spiritual ailments? Well, no matter what Satan tried to do, no matter that God gave him the ability during this period of time to cause demons to go into people and do things to them, Jesus' power was greater, and they knew it. Not one, you know, they had more faith. You start to understand why James said even the demons, the devils, believed and trembled. They knew. They would say, who? Jesus, we know who you are. We know what power you have. No question about it. No question about it. He could do it. How about over death? What kind of power did he have? He could restore people back from the dead. Was this a problem with him? No. Not at all. Not at all. So what are we going to look at? All of these miracles were instantaneous except this one in Mark 8. But it was instantaneous in that he received his sight. It took a little bit longer for him to receive perfect sight. But these miracles did not produce faith like the words of Jesus. Turn to Luke 23. Herod had heard about Jesus. Herod was a Jew. He was a king over the Jews. Wouldn't you think if he'd heard about him and he'd understood all this, he'd be going, you know, I need to hear those words that will save my soul. I understand that because Moses talked about this and so did the prophets. Is that what he wanted? No. All he wanted, he was so excited to see Jesus because he was hoping, it says, he'd heard about him, he'd heard and he hoped to see some miracle done by him. So he questions him. He's just hoping. That's all he wanted. Didn't care about what Jesus had to say. What was important? Oh, Jesus could have performed a miracle in front of Herod. It would have been no problem whatsoever. Would that have convinced Herod of his words? No. Herod was not going to believe. In John 6, verse 25, when we look at this passage of Scripture and Jesus has been teaching these lessons, he's been doing all these things, he's been talking to them, he's been telling them he's the living bread. You should be looking to my words. 25 through 27. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? They didn't even hang out there. Jesus answered them and said, most assuredly I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set His seal on Him. He's saying you're putting your emphasis on the wrong thing. You're looking at those things, and you're hoping to get something from me, but what you need to be getting from me is my words. That'll bring you spiritual life. In John 9, when we look at this story of the blind man, did that cause his parents to have faith? No. No. They were willing to reject Jesus because of the Jews. We know that God spoke to Moses for this fellow. We don't know where he's from. Are you kidding? I mean, seriously, this is just totally ridiculous if we believe that miracles are the thing that's going to cause someone to do what's right. In John 12, verse 37. But although he had done so many, and this is that word that could be translated miracles, he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe in him. Verse 48. He who rejects me and receives not my miracles. No. Receives not my word or words, has that which judges him. The words that I have spoken, the same shall judge thee in the last day. And then back to John 6, verse 68. After they'd all left him because he had taught this hard lesson, he'd been feeding them, he'd been taking care of them, and then he says, but you need to believe in me. And I go, oh, can't do that. He said, well, will you also go away? And Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the miracles. No, thou hast the words of eternal life. Peter understood what was important in this. So then we come back to Romans 10:17. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the Word of God. Miracles do not save. Obedient faith does. When people are trying to show you that they're saying, we can do these miracles, so you ought to believe in me. No, we need to look back at the miracles we're already done and say we believe in Christ and His words. Because they're not giving you the words that Jesus gave. And we find this in Matthew 9, 2 through 7, but I want to go to Galatians 3. Let me tell you about an obedient faith and what it'll do. It'll say, yes, I read about those miracles. But what I have faith is, and that confirmed what I believed about Jesus Christ. I believed that He was the Son of God. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And people say, no. These miracles were used to show the power of God through Christ, according to Matthew 9, verse 6, and Mark 3:15, Luke 4:36. It was to prove that Jesus was the Son of God, according to James 2, verse 11, and verse 13, when He turned the water into wine. He said, it will prove who I am. In John 20, 30 through 31, it said, it will prove it. Many other signs He did, but He said, this is enough to prove that Jesus is who He said He was. In John 11, 41 and 42, it says that it would prove that God had sent Him when He healed, brought Lazarus back from the dead. That would prove it. Acts 2, 22, Peter said, you should know, you saw the signs and wonders He did, that proves who He said He was. Proves it. And it would prove that God is greater than Satan. In Luke 11, 15 through 23, He had power over the demons. He could cast them out. And again, after He had raised Lazarus from the dead, according to John 11, verse 40, it was to glorify God. These things should have. And last but not least, miracles were done to confirm the Word. We've already looked at Mark 16, verse 20. Hebrews 2, 1 through 4 says exactly the same thing. Confirm it. Prove it. They could do it. We have the Word now. I don't need to do anything other than show you what the Word says. That's where faith will come from. Jesus performed miracles to prove the words He spoke were true and came from God. That's why He did it. I can show that I am who I say I am, and you should have no problem with that. He did not perform miracles for His own needs or benefits. We found that out when He wouldn't do it before Satan. He wouldn't do it before Herod. He wouldn't put Himself down on the cross. He said, I have the power to take my body down, and I have the power to raise it back up again, but He didn't use it. Romans 1 said He waited on God the Father to raise Him back from the dead. He had it. He's not saying He didn't have it. He just didn't use it for His own. He came to do the will of God. He said, I have submitted myself to the will of God and I came to do it. He obeyed God fully without sin. Now think about this. Jesus did that. He was the Word. He was God. And He submitted. And yet, we won't. He obeyed God fully without sin. We have this written that we might believe on His name, having proof from witnesses that He performed these miracles. The Word of God, when allowed to enter the heart of man, produces faith. It'll produce faith if you allow it to go in there. And faith, when it grows, will produce obedience. You'll start to understand, there's something I need to do. He died for me. He cared for me. He did all these things. He is who He said He was, and obedience brings salvation. So the question is, have you obeyed the gate? Have I? Let's stand and sing a song. If there's anything at all we can help you with, we would be just so delighted to do so. Please stand.